You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
All and nothing. This is week number 7. We have gone through several weeks now in the book of Colossians. We will be in Colossians chapter 4. We started this series and desired to really focus on who Christ is, the supremacy of Christ, and the sufficiency of His work. That we cannot add anything, and it is all sufficient what He's done on the cross for you and for me. Colossae was a church that Paul was trying to communicate to because there were a lot of false teachings that were coming in the church. And one of which was, for salvation, Jesus plus human philosophy. Whether that would be asceticism, meaning harsh treatment of the body to escape the lusts of the flesh, or Gnosticism, wherein you can try to gain secret knowledge so that you can add this to your faith in Christ, and then you'll get truly, truly, truly be saved. All right? And so, but Paul says this is not so. In fact, the other ones that he was trying to refute, Jesus, okay, it's good to have faith in Jesus, but you still have to obey the 600 plus laws in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus said, I came to not abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus, only faith in Christ will bring salvation. So we do good works not to be saved. Because we're saved, then we do good works. That's the difference. And then the others say, Jesus plus mystical relationships to angelic beings, this will result in salvation. Again, when we add other things apart from faith in Christ, this is not what the Bible teaches. This is not what God's Word teaches. And some people say, you know, okay, Jesus, but I'll add a few other statues in my line of statues because, you know, just in case Jesus is busy, maybe these other things will help me out just to cover all bases. And so now, that's what Paul was trying to refute. Christ is above all, nothing more, nothing less. Now, just on our 7-week journey, just a recap, we talked about the prayer of Paul, that he prayed that they would be filled with the knowledge of God and God's will and with the power of God in their life. And then week number 2, we talked about the supremacy of Christ. Remember, Pastor Steve spoke here. He talked about you are not the center of the universe. That was that message. And then the week after that, fullness in Christ, we talked about the new status, the new record, and the new nature that we have. When we talked about that Manila paper, God wiped out everything, our sin, and replace us by His grace with a new nature and a new status. And then week 4, Pastor Joey preached about the eternal position, eternal hope, eternal ambition that we have, wherein he used that illustration of that multi-million-dollar bread toast, if you remember. Okay, that's that message right there. And then Joseph Bonifacio, after that, talked about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. And then last week, we talked about relationships and how our relationship with Christ should permeate other relationships here on earth, marriage relationships, parent and family relationships. And so now, week number 7, this is where we're at. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. If you're there, could you stand on your feet? We're going to read scripture together. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Verse 4, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Lord, thank you that your word gives us wisdom. It is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Thank you that it is living and active. Today, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will give us, Lord, not just inspiration so that we could feel good about the message, but Lord, application so that we can actually walk out with action points. I pray, Father, for every heart in this room. Lord, may it be good soil. May it be, Lord, soil that you can plant the seeds, Lord, that we would see it take root and eventually bear fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. You may go and have a seat. Thank you. Let me start by telling a story, an Olympic story. Some of you remember in Barcelona Olympics. Actually, there was a man during the Barcelona Olympics in 1992, a man named Derek. Derek was pitted to be one of the fastest runners at that time. This was way before Usain Bolt. And Derek was favored to win the 400 meter dash. And this was already his second attempt into coming into the Olympics, because in 1988 in the Seoul Olympics, right before he was going on a plane to Seoul, he suffered an Achilles tendon injury. As a result, he wasn't able to run at the Seoul Olympics. Now, this was his second attempt to, you know, fulfill his dream to be in the Olympics. And so now, Derek was, again, as I said, favored to win the 400-meter dash. And so he gets ready, they pull the gun or the trigger, and then he runs off. But at the 150-meter mark, he snaps his hamstring. And because of that, he grimaces in pain and he is on the floor. Just could not, well, it's two things when you listen to his interview. It was, yes, in pain because of the hamstring being snapped, but also the pain of, this is my dream to be in the Olympics. And it seems like it's getting dashed right at this moment. And so while on the floor and trying to pick himself up and still try to hobble in pain and excruciating pain, go, you know, finish the race. And while everybody else is already crossing the finish line, lo and behold, a man, an older gentleman, runs from the stands going down and pushes away all the guards and the security and goes to Derek and helps him go and cross the finish line. This was Jim. Jim Redmond was his father. And father and son, they walked through the finish line and completing the race, though he was ultimately disqualified because he didn't really finish the race, but they finished the race together. You see, when Derek did not have the capacity, okay, in him to continue, someone stepped in to help him finish the race. I think about your life and my life and our journey with Christ. You know, if you could just trace back to the time when you gave your life to Jesus and you were in pain or you were in bad circumstances or you just had a big revelation that I need Jesus, and somehow at that point God turns things around and you become a Christian, you're a Christ follower. But at certain points you do realize that there are bumps. There are speed bumps and challenges and hurricanes and typhoons in life. And so what will it take for you to continue? How do you keep going when things get tough? Right? And Paul speaks now to the church and he says, all these relationships, I know some of you are going through a hard time. You know, the one thing we weren't able to go through, and again, I wish we had probably longer, maybe 10 weeks on Colossians. We didn't get to talk about masters and employees and employee relationship. But he said, you know, there are things that you're going through, tough times. But listen, there is one weapon that has been given you by which you can access today. What is that? And that is prayer. And F.B. Mayer said it this way. He's an evangelist and a pastor. He said, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. And I thought that was insightful, because many of us, I realize, we do pray, and sometimes when God doesn't answer, we say, Lord, why is it that you did not answer my prayer? But there are also moments when we should have prayed, and we weren't able to offer that prayer, and we missed out the opportunity. And you see, Paul says, you have a new life, but you know what? There's a new speech I'm giving you. What is that? The way by which you can communicate, and this is through prayer. And prayer is the most important speech that your mouth will ever utter. It's what you are. It's the access. When the veil was torn into two from top to bottom, the Bible says the access into the Holy of Holies has been given to you and to me by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And so prayer is a means where our grateful soul pours out spontaneous praise before God. It's divinely appointed weapon against the attack of the enemy. It is our vehicle for confession of sin. It is by way we are, our weeping soul will call upon this great high priest in a simple conversation of the child of God with her loving, his or her loving Father that is in heaven. Prayer has been given to us to access. We are able to come into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, into the throne room of grace for which we can help, find help in times of need. And so Colossians chapter 4 verse 2, now we jump into this topic of Paul when he says continue steadfastly in prayer. I want to talk about the word continue, because for some of you, this might be already the word of the Lord for today. Because some have gone through, you know, some speed bumps, and you're about to throw in the towel. Well, guess what? The word of the Lord for you today is continue. Meaning, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stay on the floor. Don't give up now. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, when you say continue, what does that mean? What is Paul trying to say? Okay, to pray, continue in prayer, which would mean, you know, somebody said it this way, it's like having a God consciousness, meaning being aware of the presence of God, that He is with us every single moment. I love this book, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. He said it this way, it's that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continuously conversing with Him. That any time of the day, you can zoom into the presence of God. As I said, because of that veil that has been torn from top to bottom, we have access into the Holy of Holies. Whereas before, they had to go through the high priest. But now we have a great high priest in Christ. And then he said further, the time of busyness does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of the kitchen, of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling on different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. What's he trying to say? In the busyness of the moment, whether I am on my computer, whether I am, you know, in the school, and I know a lot of kids today, or young people today, are going have UPCAT, okay, the UP entrance exam, or whether you are, you know, in a board meeting, discussing critical issues, you can come into the presence of God because you're always in the presence of God. He's always with you. In fact, I remember the story, if you flip back to Nehemiah, not now, but if you read the story of Nehemiah, when he felt the burden and the call to go back to his nation, because he saw that the walls of the city were broken down, and he was just brokenhearted over his city and his nation. And he asked the king, "O king, can you allow me to go back to my city so that I can rebuild the nation?" He was the cupbearer of the king at that time. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "Then the king said," okay, this was the conversation. The king already came to him and said, "What are you requesting? What is it that you need?" And then look at the next part of the verse. It says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." This is while he was talking to the king. And under his breath, he shoots a prayer to God. And then he continues the conversation. "And I said to the king," brilliant. I thought that was an excellent example of what it means to be practicing the presence of God. That you're always in the presence of God, whether you are driving in the wonderful traffic of EDSA, right? Or whether you're, again, in a classroom or in your board meeting. Verse 2, he says, continue steadfastly. Now, this is an interesting word because in English, it's continue steadfastly. But in the Greek, it's actually this one word which meant to adhere, to be devoted, to persevere. It's all one word, to persevere. So you see here the concept of courageously being persistent. It's the same word that was used in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, when the Bible says, "By faith Moses left Egypt unafraid of the king because he endured and he persevered because he saw him who was invisible," pertaining to God. He kept on. He didn't give up. He kept moving forward. There was courageous persistence. And you know, the Bible says he didn't worry about what the king would think about. Even though he was, you know, educated in the finest schools, and you know, he went to UE, right? University of Egypt. And so, you know, he just was everything that he wanted. He was in a very comfortable place. How many of you know sometimes God pulls you out of your comfort zone because he has something better for you? And so he did that. And he pushed forward. You see, sometimes those places of discomfort is not necessarily of the devil. Sometimes we rebuke the devil. Okay? But it's God's bringing us into a desert experience. And so anyway, steadfastly continue, he says. Don't give up. Be persistent. In 1950, there was a long distance swimmer. Okay, her name was Florence Chadwick. And in 1950, she swam through the English Canal for 13 hours and 20 minutes. Imagine swimming in the English Canal. Okay. But in 1952, after successfully swimming through the English Channel, she tried the Catalina Channel from Catalina Island to the coastline of California. And this was a distance of about 26 miles. Okay? Imagine 26 miles, not kilometers, okay? Miles. And so when she was swimming in icy cold water, the fog started to settle in. And so now she could no longer see from what's up ahead. And after 15 hours of swimming and feeling like she was twirling and just going around in circles, she finally had to say, I don't know if I can finish this. I give up. So she did. She got on the boat. After getting on the boat, not realizing she was just about a mile away from the coastline. And she was interviewed and asked the question, why did you give up? And you know what she said? Look, it's not like I'm excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, then I know I could have made it. I wouldn't have given up. But you know, 2 months later, she tries it again. And in icy cold water with the fog there, okay, she actually goes, but this time no longer 15 hours, now 13 hours, and she actually makes it through and gets through the coastline of California. And this time during the interview, she was asked, and she said this. She said she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. Even though there was a thick fog, even though the water was so icy cold, she just kept an image of the shoreline in her mind, kept her eyes on it, and she said, it's going to be there, it's going to be there. Sure enough, after some time, it was there. Didn't give up. Kept going. See, this was what Paul was saying. We may not see what's up ahead, but we know it's there. Jesus is our finish line. We will see the end at sooner or later. Verse 2, it says, being watchful. Now, imagine this for a moment, because Paul wrote this in prison. This is one of his prison epistles. And Colossae, he was writing to, he's never been to that place. And so he writes this in prison, and he probably was watching the prison guards. He said, be watchful. And this was so real for him at that moment. Be watchful. In other words, what he was saying in the original language, in the Greek, it would say, stay awake. Stay awake, because there is a devil out there. First Peter, the Bible says, that is like a lion prowling, seeking whom he may devour. Stay awake. Kind of like that guard that he's probably watching. Stay awake. Something might happen. And then he says after that, with thanksgiving, be consistently and continue in prayer with thanksgiving. And in a time of difficulty, guess what? Paul says, be thankful. Did you know the best antidote to a grumbling heart is a grateful heart? Because if you can think of 100 things that are wrong, then you can think of 1,000 things that are wrong. There's always certain things that you can think about. My wife is like this. My husband's like this. My children are like this. My nation's like that. My office is like this. My job's like this. There's a lot of things you can list down. But you know what? Paul says, try to do this. List down the things that you're thankful to God for. It's a good exercise. It really is. So I'm glad Pastor Joseph did what he did earlier than the 5 minutes before. List down things that you're thankful to God for. Because when we do, it brings us into the zone wherein we're just grateful. And it brings you into a posture of non-entitlement, which is very dangerous to get into. And then in verse 3 and 4, he shifts. Okay, he says, okay, these are good. Pray continuously. Don't stop. Don't give up. But at the same time, pray also for us. I hope you pray for your pastors. Yeah. I hope you do. I hope you're praying for your pastor. And he asks for prayer. He says, pray for us as well. He shifts. And what does he pray for? Does he say, Lord, or guys, pray for us that the Lord may open the door of this prison? That wasn't what he said. He said, pray that God may open a door for the word. Because it's so often that when we're in a bind, the easiest thing for us to do is, Lord, save me from this situation. But he didn't say that. He didn't say, Lord, save me out of this prison. He says, Lord, may even through this, your word be preached. Did you know that God uses even your brokenness to preach the testimony of his grace and love and salvation? It's a weird thing, but it's a powerful thing. You think about a person who has been lost and just so broken because of just the sin and is messed up in life, and yet even through that mess up, God produces a testimony. In the mess, God uses it to become a message. That in the test, it becomes a testimony. That's what the Lord does. And that's what he's doing in the middle of, while in prison. May the Lord use me and proclaim his word. He says, may the Lord open the door. He's asking for an opportunity. And I love this. And you know, it's so refreshing whenever, you know, our prayer requests, we have those prayer requests in the offering envelopes, right? It's so refreshing when we get prayer requests that talk about other nations or pray for other countries or pray for salvation of family members. Because to be honest, normally it's for visa and for personal provision. It's for, you know, promotion and new car and new house, which is not a bad thing. But when you hear of other things, it's refreshing. And here's what Paul says. He says, Lord, give us an opportunity. You know, a couple of weeks ago when my wife and I ministered in New Zealand, Pastor Taulu, he's a Samoan. He's a boxer also, and he just loves to actually every day he goes to the gym, and so he would drag me to the gym. Okay, and literally drag me. Okay, are you awake? No. Okay, you want to come? Maybe. I say, oh, just come with me anyway. Okay, out of pride, you know, it's like whatever left it was. Okay, so anyway, so we went, and then so Pastor Taulu would bring me, and we'd go to the gym. And then, because what he would do is he would actually engage people in the gym. And there was one guy he engaged, and actually I got to talk to him. This guy's name is Reyna, okay? He's a big, stocky guy. But I said, did you know your name in the Philippines meant queen, okay? He says, huh? Okay, he almost punched me to the face. Right? But anyway, so he was a drug dealer, was, okay? And he... His dad was a drug dealer and was involved in a gang, and you know, passed on the legacy and the heritage and the business to his son of drug dealership and franchises. Okay, and so he continued the family business, and so he was telling me his story. That's how his life was until somebody brought him to Christ and said, did you know you don't have to live this way? Because, you know, even if he had a lot of cars, he had a lot of money, how many of you know money and cars do not fulfill? They don't satisfy. And even if you have overflowing money, you're swimming in money, it doesn't satisfy. And so he understood that situation, and he knew that it's not fulfilling me. And so somebody introduced him to Christ and said, you don't have to stay in that pit. What do you mean? Okay, he was supposed to, you know, he was almost going to knock him on his head. Don't know how to stay there. And until Jesus was introduced and he gave his life to Christ. And you know what he does now? And of course, he quit his family business and he moved on. But he works for the government mentoring young men in prison. He knows the territory. I've been in and out of those locations, he said. And I now mentor. In fact, I'm able to share the gospel. God's opened up the opportunity. My brokenness, my sin, my past, God has used to actually minister to the people. It was powerful. Now, he was a former rugby player also, so he would go around different teams and preach the gospel there. And young people would find hope. Again, similar to what I said, his testimony becomes the message, and his mess ups became the message. See, if you have a testimony, you need to go share it. If you have a story to share, go for it. Now, if you don't have a story to share and if you don't have a testimony, then we have to backtrack a bit and let's talk about the gospel. Because if you don't understand, if there's no embracing of the gospel, then there's no story. I won't have my story if I don't understand his story. And so, God used his story. And that's why I mentioned this a few weeks ago about the heart and the goal to reach out to our community and even here in BGC. That BGC is no longer just Bonifacio Global City, but it's what? Bringing the gospel to the city. And that's the goal. As, you know, when we planted the church here 2003, we were one of the first buildings in BGC. Medical City wasn't there. Market wasn't even there yet. We were one of the very first ones. And so everybody who attended church were really outside BGC because nobody lived in BGC. But 13 years after, okay, we have 30,000 people who live in BGC. We need to reach out to them. And so opportunity. He says, God, give us a door. And then not only a door and an opportunity, he says, that I may declare the mystery of Christ. He says, Lord, give us boldness. Give me boldness to share the gospel. And you know what? That's the number one reason why people don't share the gospel today. They have a story, but it's really, you know, a fear of rejection. That's what we'll pray for later. Amen? We'll pray for that later. Let me give you a story. This is our missionary went 3 years ago with his wife and his daughter, who was 3 years old at that time. Okay, and you have to wonder, why in the world are you going to bring your daughter and your wife to that place? And actually, if you have to work, then wonderful, but you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to talk about Jesus in an area where predominantly is Muslim. And so he goes, and 3 years ago, and now 2 years after, they have about 104 locals in the church. Okay? Now, I want to pause and tell you that that's already a mega church in terms of Christianity. Because to see people turn to Christ, and that it's a hard ground to actually sow in. And so, pastor ministers, all right, and meets these two young college students and does one-to-one with them. One-to-one is a booklet of, you know, foundational walk with Christ and the different foundational lessons. And if you haven't gone through it, let us know. It's a powerful tool. And so he goes through chapter 6. On chapter 6, they talk about, you know, salvation and praying for other people. And so these two young men, it says, could you pray for my dad? Because I want my dad to hear this. Because now they've realized I don't have to work for my salvation. Somebody died and somebody paid. Somebody is offering me this free gift. And all their life they were taught, I have to pray several times a day. I have to do certain things to appease the wrath and to be able to bring approval into my life from this God. And now realizing, God so loved the world, he gave his son. I want my dad to hear this story. And so now, of course, the boldness comes into pastor and he preaches to the dad. In fact, the two brothers brings their dad to service. And guess what happens? That dad stands up and gives his life to Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. Amen. But wait, there's more. Huh? They're now in chapter 4 of one-to-one booklet. He's knowing Christ, and he's getting grounded in his walk with Jesus. And you know, that's what Paul was saying, the boldness. And I just commend our pastor there. It's like, wow. And we got to pray for him. You guys need to pray for him. In fact, his wife is pregnant now, their second baby. He's like, you're going to go back and preach the gospel to a place where it's actually legal to kill Christians, or if a person converts into Christianity. The third one, he says, not only an opportunity, not only for boldness, but third thing, let's pray for clarity, he says, that the message of the gospel would be very clear, that I will be able to communicate it effectively. I talked to you about Reyna earlier, the drug dealer. He has a friend. His name is Jimmy. I met him in the gym also. And Jimmy was also in the same business, okay? He was a gangster, and this is his picture. He was a gangster. He looks like a UFC fighter, doesn't he? Okay, and so he was telling the story that, you know, when I heard that Reyna became a Christian and that he was going to church, I couldn't believe it. I said, is he smoking something new? Why is he in church? He's such a weirdo. And so the only reason why Jimmy stepped into the church was because to see and prove the others that that's not really Reyna, okay? Because everybody was saying, no, Reyna started coming to church. Huh? No, you got the wrong guy. That can't be Reyna. So he steps in church, and he sees Reyna lifting up his hands, and he says, what a weirdo. And so was he, you know, smoking these days? And so, but when the gospel and the word of God was preached, he realized he was sinful, and God loved him in spite of his sinfulness. And he lifts up his hands in worship and gives his life to Christ and also becomes a weirdo. And you know, last year, he was telling me a story. He said, last year, November, I got into an accident, car accident, and a pole hit my head and cracked my skull. And he said, I was dead for 45 minutes. The doctor said I was not going to make it. But even if after I made it, he said, this is what happened. I was going to be paralyzed all my life, he said. This was November last year. That morning, he was boxing with me. And he was up and about in the gym. And he says, so do you feel the, you know, the effects of what happened in the past? Yeah, sometimes there's like flickering lights. He was telling us, there are flickering lights. Whenever I push myself too hard, there are flickering lights, and the doctor said I need to slow down. I told him, I see that all the time, you know, when I exercise. Okay. I didn't even get a pole on my head. Okay. Anyway, just a testimony of God's faithfulness and amazing grace in his life. Clarity. And it was clear when the gospel was preached to him. You see, when the gospel is preached clearly, you cannot not come to Christ. It's like it just makes sense. And so that would be my prayer for us today as we end, that the Lord will allow us to communicate. And whether that would be going across your cubicle, office cubicle, and say, hey, you know, I heard about your mom and that your mom has cancer. Can I pray for you? Just go for it. Or it's, you know, at least start engaging. At the end of it, hopefully present the gospel. And then, or you know, engage, connect to a person who, you know, maybe it's through text, or maybe it's through, you know, just send a text, a verse, or something you heard about today in the message, and you just share. And I remember, you know, sometimes there are people who write on newspapers or their editorials. Okay, it's interesting when after, you know, one of our pastors here preached, I see the article there. Oh, that's kind of like what we talked about last Sunday. And so it's a great thing. Okay, you can just, you know, there's no copyright here. You can copyright away. Okay, and so just go ahead and share it. And so as we end our time, I want to pray for those three things: that God will give us boldness, that God will give us opportunities, and that God will give us clarity. And next week, we're going to talk about this topic, beyond borders, so that we don't want to just stop here. We want to keep going, different nations of the world. In fact, you have that You can take home that bookmark on your chairs, and it talks about just, you know, what we're doing in the next several years. And so can we pray? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the example of Paul. Lord, though he was in prison, his main concern was not getting out of the bind that he was in. But his concern was the word to be preached. And so, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of us, God, that, Lord, you will give us an opportunity. Lord, help us to have an opportunity, Lord, to preach the word. But before that, Lord, help us understand the message. You know, before we pray for that, those three things, I want to pray for some of us here. Maybe those of you on Facebook Live or on live stream. Some of you don't have a story to tell because you haven't really embraced the greatest story ever told. Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty for sin. And today he wants to give a fresh start. And that relationship that was once broken, God can restore through Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if there's a few of you here today or watching online, you need to come to Christ and say, Lord, I give my life to Jesus in response to what he's done for me. If that's you, could you just lift up your hands? I want to pray for you. I believe there's a few of you that need to make that decision. Just lift up your hands. Come on. Anybody here? God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just a couple of you. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Anybody else? Lift up your hands. Anybody else? God bless you. Up in the balcony. Wherever you're at, just pray this prayer. And those of you who are watching online, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for providing a way for me to be reconciled back to the Father. In and of myself, I will have no clue what to do. And I've tried. But Lord, today, in response to what you've done for me, I give my life to you, Jesus. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says, if this were so, I will be saved. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a fresh start. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those that made that decision. I pray you seal that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we all stand? As we end today, those are what I'll pray for. Opportunity, boldness, and clarity. Lord, I pray for everyone, Lord, here. Lord, as we leave today, may you give us boldness. Lord, some of us are afraid of rejection, but Lord, ultimately they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting you. And so Lord, I pray that we would understand, Lord, the necessity and the urgency. Our family members, our friends, our loved ones need to hear you and your love for them. And I pray, Father God, also for clarity, that we would have a story to tell, and that one of the most powerful ways we can share the gospel is through our testimony. And Lord, help us craft it and share it. And so Lord, I pray as we leave today, I pray that your righteousness, your peace and joy will go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great week ahead. See you next week.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.